Hallelujah, church. Let that be our declaration this morning, that our God is able. Our God is able. Our God is able. Lord, our eyes are on you. Our eyes are locked in on you. You are able. You are able. Lord, we place ourselves, our lives, our dreams, our visions unto you. Lord, we place them in your hands. Just like Joshua did. Just like Moses did. Just like Abraham did. We place them into your hands, Lord. You rearrange them. You change them. You order them. Lord, we make a decision as we close 2019. To be fully committed to what you want to do in our own individual lives. Lord, we want to finish strong 2019. We want to see you at the finish line. Our eyes are locked in on you. We put aside every distraction, every hurt, every pain, anything that will get us away from that finish line. We shove them to the side. And we lock in on you. The word that came to Joshua was very simple. Joshua is closing in a chapter in his life, and he's opening up a brand new season, where he's taking over from Moses. And the word came to Joshua, be strong, be courageous. I believe he's going to take strength and courage to finish strong 2019. It's not just going to be a casual stroll towards that finish line. We're going to need to press forth to finish strong. God is looking for people that are going to be strong and courageous. Not because of them, of their accomplishment, or what they know, what they've done. Because God is able. Amen. Because of Him. Yes. Only because of Him. There is a strong sense of urgency right here, right now, to make a decision to let go. To let go. Just like Joshua had to let go. It's taking over the mantle from a man of God that has accomplished much. And here it is. He's coming along as a young pup coming to take over from his master, his mentor, the one that he looks up to. And yet again, the same word that God gave to Moses, he gave to Joshua. Be strong. Be courageous. Then he goes on and he says, do not be afraid. I have gone before you to finish strong the race. We must know that God has gone before us. That's the only way we can lock in with His eyes, because He's ahead of us. And He's looking unto you. I want you to picture this in your mind this morning. Jesus has locked in with you. And He says, look at me. Lock your eyes on me. I am the author and the finisher of your faith. The good thing that I began in you, I will bring it to completion. Lock your eyes on Jesus. That's how you finish strong. We cannot afford to be distracted by little things that the enemy would send to get us off track. Of course, where our eyes are no longer on Jesus, but on something else. We got to refocus, lock in with Jesus to finish strong. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I've got a powerful word this morning. A word that has been keeping me up for a few days now. Anchor Youth and Tidal Wave, you may be dismissed. This word is the finish line. The finish line. In just a couple of days, we're going to cross a finish line. The finish line of 2019. Hopefully it was an exciting race for you. When we think about finish line, we think about a race that we engage in. I hope it was very exciting for you. But even if it was not exciting, say it was a very challenging 2019. It has been for many of us. Very challenging year. Very difficult year. But one thing we do know, we are crossing over that finish line. 2019 is going to be gone. And we're never going to see 2019 again. Good, bad, ugly, it's over. It's going to be behind us. When we talk about a race, we can talk about our Christian life as a race. that we engage in. In fact, Paul talks about the race many times throughout the Word of God. We read about it in Hebrews chapter 12, about the race that we engage in. We read about it in the book of Philippians. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, the faith race. Every part of our Christian life can even point to a race that we engage in terms of commitment, in terms of what we do as we engage ourselves in this race. In a race called Christian life, you and I are responsible for one thing: how we finish. That's our responsibility. How we finish. The choice was given to us to decide if we're going to finish strong, meaning to give our very best to the end, or to hold back. To hold back on things and say, you know what, I can't be committed too much in this race. I cannot be engaged too much. The choice is always ours. Always ours. God is the author, but He will never force. He will never come in and force you through the race. He will encourage you through the race. He will cheer you on through the race. He will say, look at me as you run your race. But God is not going to drag you through the race, kicking and screaming. He's going to go, come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. And He will send even others around you to pick you up when you fall and say, come on, buddy, I'm with you. You can do it. But regardless, it's a race where you have a choice on how you finish. Today we're going to make a choice that we're going to finish 2019 strong. Amen? Amen. We agree on this? Amen. We're going to finish 2019 strong. I'm making a decision now. The little things that were holding me back in 2019, I'm drawing a line. I'm leaving them behind. The small things, the things that we can easily pass under the radar because nobody else sees it. I'm talking about these things. I'm not talking about the big things. I'm talking about the small things. That in a race, when we're carrying those small things, guess what they do? They slow us down. They slow us down big time. And we think they're just small. Guess what? Nobody sees it. But they still slow us down in the race. If it is affecting our hearts, our attitude, our commitment, it's affecting you in the race. That's what I want to wake you up this morning to. Is to realize that you are in a race and there's still a few more days ahead. Hallelujah! We got time. As long as we're breathing, as long as we got air in our lungs, there's time. I woke up this morning and I was excited because I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I'm still around. And there's still hope for me to change. We all need changing. We all need transforming. Because in the end, when we finish that final crossing line, that final line as we end our life here on earth, we want to be able to look in the eyes of Jesus and hear Him say those words, well done, my good and faithful servants. I want my last word to be those that Paul had when he addressed Timothy. The last few words that he had were those. And if you got your Bibles, I want you to open to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. Powerful words. Powerful last words of somebody. You know when somebody has a last words before they pass on? You wanna kind of lock in on this, especially if somebody you look up to. I remember in 2009 when Oral Roberts was in December, I believe, when he passed on. Other people, many well-known preachers, evangelists would have time alone in private with Oral Roberts. With Billy Graham was the same way. I remember getting several invitations to actually listen in to his final word. Final words are important in somebody's life. I remember John Bevere, and John Bevere that I know of when I was working at Oral Roberts University, wanted to have a private time alone with Oral Roberts so that he can glean in. Pastor Billy Joe Doherty, many others that we know of, that we watch on TV, they wanted to have a little time alone with him so that they can glean on those last few words. Is there a word for me? Is there something that I need to know? How to do something? I'm the type of person that is like this. When I find somebody that can lock in and draw something out of, they've got my attention. Especially when it's talking about something of God's business. When it's about the kingdom, you've got my attention. When it's something about something that's going to challenge me to the core, you've got my attention. So I believe when Paul is addressing Timothy, Timothy is kind of like the protege of Paul. Paul, throughout his ministry, has been pouring into this young person's life. And now he's drawing to an end. He's reaching his finish line. And he has those final words for Timothy. He said this, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure is at hand." And then those final words is this. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I've kept the faith." Mind you, when he's having this conversation, those last few words with Timothy, he's in prison and he's about to be beheaded, and he knows it. He knows that this was the sentence over his life, was to lose his head. He knew that. But yet again, he came up with these words that were probably very encouraging for Timothy. To finish the race. To fight the good fight. To keep the faith. Out of those words, there are three things that we can actually draw from. Because they were the last few words that he spoke that were ever recorded. So from these words, I'm like, okay, what can we glean from? What can we learn from today, now, before we finish 2019 and engage ourselves in another race for another season, 2020? 2020 is going to be something new. But we must complete 2019 while we still have breath in our lungs. He said, first of all, "I have offered my life as a sacrifice unto God." What he's saying about the Christian life is simple. The Christian life is a sacrificial offering. Ouch. So immediately when I read this, I'm like, how's my life? Is my life reflected as a sacrificial offering to him? I mean, that's a moment of truth when I really stop and think about this, and I've been thinking about this for the whole several weeks now, is my life a reflection of a sacrificial offering unto Him? Is my life like this? That's a moment of truth. And every time when I'm alone with God and I'm asking Him, where do I stand when it comes to this? I want my life to be a sacrificial offering unto You, because that's the only worthy sacrifice. Paul himself said it in Romans 12. Says, I beseech you therefore, brothers. I call upon you. I beg you, brothers and sisters, to renew your mind, not to conform to the ways of this world, but to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. When I do my self-reflection, I'm like, how's my life? How's my life when I'm alone with God? Not when others are seeing what I'm doing. Not when I'm here delivering the word, but how's my life as a sacrificial offering when it's unseen? When nobody else knows. How's my life? The second part, what Paul talked about, and as he's addressing to Timothy, he said, I have fought the good fight. When I read this, I get this out of it. It says the Christian life is not a playground, but a battlefield. There are bruises, there are scars that you're going to carry as a Christian. And I start looking at my own. I'm like, where's my scars? Do I have any scars to show that I'm a worthy sacrifice unto Him? Because if I see my life as a sacrificial offering unto Him, there must be scars. There must be bruises. I know this is probably not the Power Punch 2019 that we want to hear. We don't want to talk about bruises and pain. But that's what it takes to finish the race. God is looking for such a people that would sacrifice anything, everything for Him. That's the only sacrifice that is worthy, holy, and acceptable to Him. He's looking for that. He's looking for such a sacrifice. The Christian life is not a playground, but a battlefield. If you don't have scars, maybe you're not engaged in a battle. When I'm not talking about physical bruises with somebody, I'm talking about bruises, pain, when a brother or a sister comes, kicks you in the gut. I'm talking about people that you would trust, but you pull a knife out of your back. I'm talking about painful experiences, because Paul right here, he's describing a painful experience. Because he was beaten, bruised, physically, spiritually, beaten and bruised for what he stood for. Because no sacrifice is worthy if there's no pain, no bruise, no scars. Just think of Jesus. If there was no scars, no pain, no bruises, no lashes on His back, His sacrifice would be not worthy. How's my life? Does my life reflect the Christian life as a battlefield and not just as a playground? I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. The Christian life is a journey that requires faith. Without faith, it is impossible to engage ourselves in this race. Call your Christian life. Christian life is a journey that requires faith, and there is a finish line. And this is where we're going to land this morning. The finish line. Why is it so important to finish? Why do we finish? I'm always encouraging my kids. You got to finish the job. You got to finish the task. Every Saturday at my house, it's chores day. Okay? Everyone has got an assignment, a task. Isaiah's assignment is to clean every single bathroom in the house. He gets down, he scrubs, he mops, he cleans. He cleans everything. And there is an inspection at the end to see if it was, she's the inspector. There is an inspection. And afterwards, many times after the inspection, go back. Finish what you started. Jeremiah, you're in charge of vacuuming downstairs. Finish what you started. Soraya, you're in charge of cleaning the closet. Finish what you started. We do this a lot because we're very good at starting things. We're very good at starting committees, subcommittees of this and that. And guess what? How much have we accomplished? Probably not a whole lot when you really think about it. Because we have a tendency, a human tendency, to talk a big talk in the beginning. I want to stay away from this, especially when we reach 2020. I don't want to just talk a big talk. I don't want to just deliver one word and say, this is the word for the Lord for 2020 and that's it. There's going to be a task assigned to it. Are you ready for it? There's going to be a level of commitment that's going to be required. Are you ready for it? There's going to be a new level of fire that's going to be lit underneath you. Are you ready for it? That is what the sacrificial offering really means. It is not a stroll in the park. I wish it was. I wish it was like you're going to stroll like your journey through Christian war life, and you're going to go like this, and you're going to meet some really cool people. You're going to be buddies with Peter. Oh, Peter, I'm so happy that you're my buddy. You're my friend. But there's going to be time where there's going to be conflict, Peter. Amen. There's going to be time where there's going to be pain, Peter. Right. There's going to be time where there's going to be scars, Peter. There's going to be time where there's going to be bruises, Peter. Or am I going to be able to trust Peter to help me along this journey? Am I going to be able to trust him to pick me up along this journey? That's what it's going to take. It's going to be a journey what is going to require courage, strength, determination. I don't want to come in and next Sunday and just drop in a great word and give you a few goosebumps and say, ooh, there we go, what a word, and we're ready for 2020. I'm trying to tell you, 2020 is going to be tough. We're not expecting that, right? We're not expecting that. 2020 is going to be challenging because 2020 is going to be a race, a new level of commitment that's going to be required of all of us. Me, your pastor, included. Probably even more so. Because I want to be able to look as I breathe my last and be able to affirm the same words that Paul said to Timothy. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I did not give up when it got tough. Because it's about to get tough. I don't want to just sing a song that God is able and not truly take him at his word that he's able to pull me through the mess that I'm in right now. I don't want to just sing the song that our God is able and not truly live it out. Truly be committed, engage in what God says He will do for you and for me. I've got to take Him as His word and run with it. I got to be able to trust His word that when it gets tough, He will pick me up. He would send in the Peter in my life, the Richard in my life, to pick me up. He will send you in my life to pick me up. Because in this race, even though we run in as a community, there is an individual reward. At the end of the race, just like Paul, I want to be able to lock eyes with Jesus and hear Him say those words, "Well done, my good, my faithful servant." That's what being engaged in a race and finish strong really means. Why is it important to finish? Without the resolve to finish, it is impossible to give birth to anything new. Without the resolve, without the determination, the commitment, the engagement to finish, we cannot start something new. I will go as far as say it is impossible to start something new. Because God cannot release us into a new season, until we finish the current one. And He's not doing that because He's mean. He's spiteful. He doesn't want to do a new thing in our life. Everybody talks about God is about to do a brand new thing. I want to do a brand new thing in me. But the brand new thing can destroy you if you're not ready for it. It's good preaching right here. That is a good one. It might not sound like it. It might be like, oh man, that is rubbing me the wrong way. But guess what? I'd rather rub you the wrong way and tell you the truth than just sugarcoat something and tell you God is about to do a brand new thing and you're going to stroll through life. It's not going to happen like this, guys. It's going to be a wake-up call. It's going to be shaking. In the word it says, in the last days, which we are in, Anything that can be shaken will be shaken. Anything. Your marriage might be shaken. Your relationships might be shaken. The church itself might be shaken. Anything that can be shaken will be shaken. But if you're resolved to finish what God has set you to do, to finish strong, guess what? You're going to be ready for the new assignment. God is not going to hand over a new assignment when you have not completed the assignment that is already given to you in this season. Isaiah, go back and finish the bathroom. Soraya, go back and clean up the closet. There's still shoes that need to be picked up. I can't give you any more assignment. I can't reward you. You have not completed what I first gave to you. That's what it takes. We can break it down into our very own practical lives when we think about it. You were kids once, right? I remember my dad telling me the same thing. And I'm passing it on to my kids. Go finish what you started. You got to finish that. You cannot move on to something else until you get done. I believe our Father in heaven does the same thing. Probably with the same sense of humor sometimes. when he challenges us and say, you know what, buddy, you haven't finished. Go back. There's still some stuff that you need to resolve there. There's still some unfinished business. You've been carrying this from one ministry to the next, from one church to the next, and you are still struggling with the same thing. Wake up. Amen. Wake up. Go fix it. You changing soil doesn't change the plant. The plant will remain the same. You're still going to carry the same DNA no matter where you are. So God is about you changing you, transforming you, making you more and more like Him. When you're looking at yourself, you better not see you. You better see Jesus. You better see a little bit of Him each and every time that you look in the mirror. If you're seeing yourself, you're seeing wrong. There's still room for change. Every time I look at myself, I'm like, oh my gosh. There's still room for change. I'm talking about the mirror that is right here, by the way. Every time I look at it, I'm like, still not ready, Lord. And He's like, you know what? Be strong. Be courageous. I'm with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You finish your race. You keep your eyes on me. On that finish line. And not on nothing else. So when we look at finishing strong, the Word gives us a beautiful picture on how to finish strong. Because it will be a shame if I tell you that you must finish strong, you must finish strong, you must finish strong. And without looking at the Word of God, through the lens of what God has already given to us, to know how to actually finish strong. Because guess what? We were not born with this. Our natural tendency is to start and not to complete. Because that's the way we are. When it gets a little tough, when we get challenged by certain things or even people, guess what? We're like, oh, you know what? I just want to quit. I can't do this anymore. Oh, I just cannot be committed to it anymore. God is looking for people that will stay true to the calling, to the purpose, to the vision. So that individually, you finish the race. God has you in mind. I know we can talk about this corporately as a body. But God has Peter in mind, has Don in mind, has Richard in mind. He has Grace in mind. God has individual in mind to finish the race for that individual reward. This is what should motivate us to say, I want to finish the race just like Paul did. I want my final words to be like this. I have poured out my life like a drink offering. I've lived my Christian life as an offering unto God. I have fought the good fight. The word good means noble. I have fought the noble fight. I fought the good fight. I did not fight dirty. I fought the good one. I fought the fight that God had set before me. I responded to His challenge each and every time. That's how you fight the good fight. When somebody said something ugly against me, I fought the good fight. I did not respond the way the enemy wanted me to respond. I chose to show grace instead of judgment. That's how I fought the good fight. When I was supposed to say something that would be hurtful to somebody, I held my tongue. That's the good fight. I chose to forgive. That's the good fight. I chose not to take somebody else's offense. That's the good fight. I chose not to participate in a gossip. That's the good fight. That's the good fight. Sometimes when you stand up for what is right, for what is righteous in the eyes of God, you might have a few bruises at the end. That's what it takes. The Christian life is a battlefield and not a playground. You're not going to go in a Christian life and trade marbles with the devil. Either you go with an attitude to beat him up, or you go there and you get beaten up. Amen. He's playing for keeps. He wants your life. He wants to rob you of your purpose, your destiny. That's what he's about. He's all about stealing, killing, and destroying. Right. It's about time we realize that the Christian life is a battlefield and not a playground. So many times we want to take this casually. We want to approach the Christian life like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to stroll. The enemy is going to come. He's going to steal. He's going to kill. He's going to destroy. The best pattern that we have for the race is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. It says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking, here's that word again, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Number one, we are not alone. Look around you. Look around you. You got brothers and sisters that God has strategically placed in your life. You are not alone. You are not alone. It's your responsibility to lock in. No man can be an island by itself. You got to lock in with people. You cannot be alone in this race. It says you are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. That's chapter 12. The title of this is The Race of Faith, by the way. The chapter before that is talking about the heroes of faith. That's what he's referring to. Whenever you read the word and you see therefore, there's a reason why there's a therefore. Is therefore a reason? The reason is chapter 11 when he's talking about the heroes of faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Elijah, David. He's talking about all these heroes of faith. And he says, therefore, if you're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. These are the people that we look up to. How many of you read the story of Abraham like, wow, look at that guy. And he was like a guy like you and me. Elijah, the same thing. He was a human just like you and me, struggling with the same things. Same things. A human being. He says, we are surrounded by heroes of the faith. We are surrounded by those heroes, heroes of the faith, those that have gone before us. Those that are gone before us, they could be the Billy Graham, the Reinhard Bonnke. The people that have gone before us that we look up to, we find out about them, we read about them. These are our heroes of faith. They've gone before us. He says, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Those that we look up to and we glean from. God has surrounded us with people on this journey. Those that are above us in authority, these are the Paul of our lives. People that is placed in authority above us. And then those that are our running mates in the race. Those are our Barnabas. The people that were peers. Those that are going to be around running the race with us. Encouraging us, pulling us forward. These are our teammates. And then there's going to be those that he's entrusted us under our authority. Under our protection. These would be the Timothys of our lives. God has placed many of those around us. All we have to do is to look around. So let me ask you this question. Who's your Paul in your life? Who are the Pauls of your life? Who are the Barnabases of your life? Who are the Timothys of your life? We all need them. We all need them. I need them. I need the Pauls of my life. I need the Barnabases of my life, and I need the Timothys of my life. That's how we know that we're living the Christian life effectively. When we are strategically placed and we are able to grab a hold of all these human resources that God has placed in our lives. And not to discredit and devalue them. Oh, well, no, we don't get along. Well, get along. Get along. Change your attitude. Be friendly. Put a smile on your face. Sorry, I'm being very strong. Sometimes it's those practical things that gets us waking up from our slumber and say, realize, man, time is ticking away. The finish line is right in front of us, and we're like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to walk this way there, and while the finish line is still going to be there. Before we know it, we've lost sight of it. It's a slow drift. You drift away without even knowing that you're drifting. Just like somebody in a canoe that is just there. Before you know it, you're in the middle of the lake and you had no idea how you got there. I've been there before. I'm like, how do I get back? Yeah. That's a slow drift. You can easily lose sight of the shore. You can easily lose sight of that finish line. As a pastor, God has surrounded me with many people. God has placed, I don't know if you know this, if you're new to Oceans United, you might not know this. God has placed two bishops over me. Not one, but two in the state of Alaska. I trust them. I trust their leadership. I value their resources. I value what they deposit in my life. We talk. We communicate. I know them. They know me. I'm developing a relationship with them. I treasure the relationship with them. God has placed them in my life for a reason. They are above me. I trust that. I trust their role. I trust the position. More than anything else, they are humans just like me. We faults and everything else. But yet again, their position remain their position above me in authority. God has placed the Barnabases in my life. God has surrounded me with a group of leaders. I've got a church board of seven that I trust their leadership. I trust their input. God has surrounded me with a group of leaders, directors is how we call them, where I can latch on to their wisdom, their resources. They are the ones that make it happen week after week. They are the engine behind the church. And God has entrusted me with a family, my wife and five kids, under my protection, my leadership. These, I can never say I'm alone. I can never say I'm alone. I am not alone. I am surrounded by people. I know people who know people. That's how surrounded I am. I've got people who has connection, and they have connection with other connection. That's how I'm surrounded. We are designed by God to be that way. We are designed by God not to engage in this race by ourselves when He surrounded us with so many people. When I'm in pain, people know I'm in pain. When I have scars and bruises, people know that I have scars and bruises. They come to my aid. They come and help. That is the way it's supposed to be. That is the way that God has designed and orchestrated our life. Paul was not alone. He was not a married man, but yet again, he was not alone. God placed him in ministry doing his work. We're surrounded by so many. That's why he said those words. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, by the way, but I believe it might be him. Because I don't know anyone else writing the New Testament that talks about race in such a way that Paul does. If it wasn't, there must be some influence there of Paul. Who has God entrusted you or surrounded you with? Not all your Facebook friends would qualify. Okay? I'm just going to throw this out there because we live in this type of day and age where we think this is it. We've hit the 1,000 mark and boom, we made it. We're surrounded. You might not be surrounded at all. Being surrounded is a strategic placement. Not everyone can fit in those categories. So you might need to do an evaluation of who you're surrounding yourself with. How about finishing 2019 with that? Who are you surrounding yourself with? Who are the ones that you're spending most of the time with? That will determine quite a bit of things. That will reveal a lot of things that nobody else might know. But you do. The Holy Spirit knows. You might need to do a full inventory of where you are when it comes to you being surrounded by people. God has created you to live a life in community and not in solitude. You're not meant to be alone. You're meant to live a life in a community such as a church family, a church that is united together, knitted together, where somebody is in pain, a toe is hurting, the body responds. And I got a speck of dust in it. The body responds. That's how the body is meant to be knitted together with all parts functioning together like a well-oiled machine. The other part is travel light. On this journey called your Christian life, you're going to need to travel light. He says, lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnare us. Don't carry any excess baggage in the next season. There are certain baggage that you're carrying that you were never meant to carry. Certain pain, certain struggles that you are holding on to, God is saying, let it loose. Leave it at the cross before you cross over that line and engage yourself in a new season called 2020. It's a choice you're going to have to make. Leave those weights that can slow you down. Those weights could be anything. I'm talking about not the big things. Those weights are actually very small, by the way. Because sometimes when we think about the big things, like, okay, well, I'm not carrying this weight. Well, I'm not talking about those big weights. By the way, I'm not categorizing sin. Sin is sin. Big, heavy, small, light, they're all the same. They're all displeasing unto God. What God is saying through his word, he said, don't carry anything, anything that will slow you down. Those little things are the ones that could go under the radar. Nobody else would know about it but you. These are the unforgiveness, the offenses, the gossip that comes in, and nobody knows about it but you. Nobody else. You can hide it. You can fake it. But these are the very weight that will slow you down in the race. It says, the sin which so easily ensnares us. Why easily? If it is easy for you to pick it up, it is easy for it to ensnare you, to trap you. Nowadays, things like that are so easy to pick up. Oh, I'm going to pick up somebody else's offense. Oh, I'm going to pick up somebody else's pain. I'm going to pick this up. I'm going to make it my own because I'm offended with them too. I can't believe they did this. I can't believe they said this. And before you know it, you're taking on an extra weight on your race that you were never meant to carry to start with. This is what Paul, or the book of Hebrews, is actually saying. Lay aside every weight. If you read that same verse in the New Living Translation, it says, strip off every weight. Strip it off. Basically, it's talking about something that you put on for you to be able to strip it off. It is something that is grabbing a hold of you. The word is saying, strip it off. Let it loose. Strip off every weight that would so easily ensnare you. Then it says, run with endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Endurance involves heart, passion, commitment. If you're not passionate about your race, you will be discouraged out of your race. If you're not passionate about your race, guess what? Somebody's going to come and talk you out of it. Somebody's going to come up with the right kind of theology that kind of makes it sound amazing. Make it even sound godly. That takes you away from your race, your purpose, your divine calling. Not just because something sounds good, feels good, looks good, makes it godly. God has given you and I a spirit of discernment where we are able to discern what is good and what is God. There's a big difference between what is good and what is God. And do your race with heart, with passion, with commitment. And in this race, there's a few guarantees in that race. Bumps and bruises are guaranteed. Falling is also a guarantee. You're going to fall. You're going to fall. But when you run the race with endurance, you will get back up. Because the heart, the passion, the commitment, the resolve that you have in your race will keep you coming back up. As I'm saying this, I'm getting this funny picture in my head. I'm going to tell you what it is. If you've seen Captain America, when he keeps getting punched and he's knocked down, he comes back up. And guess what he says? Somebody please help me out. I can do this all day. Can you say this about your Christian walk when you've been knocked down? You get back up and you go like this. I can do this all day. It takes that level of resolve and commitment and passion to finish the race. When you get up and you look at the enemy, you say, you know what? I can do this all day. Bring it on. That's what it takes to finish the race. You will fall, but you will get back up. Micah 7:8 says, when I fall, I will arise. when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Don't allow fear. Because this is the thing when we talk about, oh, you know what, I'm going to fall. I might get bruised and exposed. Everybody might see me fall. Don't let the fear of falling or even failure stop you from engaging in your race. It is better to start and fail than to never start at all. It's better to just start and say, oh, you know what, I started it and I don't know what happened. But I did, I started it. But Lord, with your grace, with you on my side, can you help me finish? Can you show me how to finish the race? And then with this, I'm going to close. It says, keep your eyes on the finish line. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is that finish line. He is that finish line. He's there. He finished his race. God will never ask us to do something where he himself has not done. He finished his race. He finished his race. In fact, his last few words on the cross were this. It is what? Finish. It is paid in full. Can you imagine for one time if those were not his last words on the cross? His death on the cross would have been of no value at all. The beating that he took before he was put on the cross would have been of no value at all because they were not complete. He had to complete what the Father sent him out to do. It's your race, not somebody else's race. Isaiah says it this way. He says, I've set my face like a flint, like a knife, sharp, thin, focus. There's a point to it. It's sharp. I cannot be distracted by anything else. It's pointing. It's pointing unto Jesus and no one else. I have set my face like a flint. I am in my lane. I'm running the race in my lane. What somebody else is doing in their lane doesn't bother me. I don't care if somebody else is doing something, acting a fool in their lane. I've set my face like a flint. All I see is my lane. And I see Jesus saying, come on, come on. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. Come on, son. You can do it. That's all I see. My eyes are locked in on him. Because the starting line was him. The finish line is also him. All along was him. My God is able. My God is trustworthy. My God is more than enough. My God is my strength when I'm weak. My God is my healer when I fell on my face. When I'm badly bruised, he's my healer. My God is my all in all. I started the race with him. And I see him at the end over there. And he's calling me forth. And he's saying, come on, son. You can do it. Get back up. You can do it. Run the race. Keep the faith. Fight the good fight. Till the end. Those were Paul's last words. What's going to be your last words? What are you going to be able to say to your loved ones? What are you going to be able to say to your Paul, your Barnabases, and your Timothys of your life? What are you going to be able to leave behind? What legacy are you going to be able to leave behind? What are you going to be remembered for? I want to be able to be remembered for the guy against all odds stood, fought the good fight of faith. The guy who offered his life as a living sacrifice unto him. The guy who's committed, that doesn't give up, doesn't quit, doesn't get easily offended. The guy that will say, you know what? I can do all things through Christ, my author, my finisher, the one who put me in this race, the one who encourages me throughout this race, and the one who's calling me forth at the end of this race. I put my trust in him. I am not perfect, but he is. My eyes are on him. Would you please stand?